We remember the Colonial Pipeline ransomware attack in May. That threatened the flow of up to 45% of fuel to the East Coast. Supply chain ransomware attacks, data breaches, drive-by wireless attacks. These cybersecurity terms have unfortunately become a bit too familiar to the general public, especially over the last 2 years, as cybercrime has increased 600% since the beginning of the global pandemic. We're going to dive into that. It's an intense and complicated tech world, cybersecurity, with one of the nation's leading experts, Sherry Davidoff. She is founder and CEO of LMG Security, based in Missoula, Montana. This is interesting, but like it blows my mind. All this stuff, Sherry Davidoff is with us now, and she's the founder and CEO of LMG Security. I've just been delighted, Sherry, looking at some of your videos online. And then as I start to look at this ransomware and cyber extortion, by the way, congratulations on the new book, the author of three now, and this one, Ransomware and Cyber Extortion, Response and Prevention, joining us on Voices of Montana. This is a whole new world for most folks. And is it a new world ransomware for you guys?
Absolutely. And don't congratulate me yet on the third book, because it's hard to finish up a book on ransomware. Things keep happening and we keep finding more and more things that we need to add in. It has just changed so dramatically over the past, even just the past year, really.
Well, and I saw somewhere that cyber crimes have gone up 600% since the pandemic.
Yeah, well, it's important to understand that we don't have good statistics for tracking cybercrime because a lot of it is under the radar. People don't report when they've been hit with cyber attacks. But in the case of ransomware, we can, in some cases, track cryptocurrency payments to ransomware gangs. We can't track all of them, but we can track a lot of them. And these studies I've seen have shown that ransom payments were up 344% last year. And that's because of certain tactics changing in the attacker landscape.
Like what?
Well, the biggest change over the past couple of years is that attackers aren't just locking up your files and holding them hostage. They're also threatening to publish them or sell them out there on the dark web or even on the internet in some cases. And this has been a very effective tactic because we used to worry about just not having access to our data. And organizations of all kinds got much better about keeping really good backups over the past few years. And part of that was driven by the ransomware threat. So then they would say, okay, well, you know, it's a bummer we've been held hostage, but we'll just restore all of our data from backups. So the criminals had to come up with some new tactics, and they realized that so many organizations are regulated, there are compliance requirements, there's a huge reputational risk of having your data leaked. So they started stealing the data, and then we call it double extortion. So they're not only holding it hostage and saying they're not going to give it back unless you pay the fee, they're also threatening to pay it. And that has actually been very, very effective, especially when they've grabbed patient data or client data, depending on your kind of organization, because then it's a huge embarrassment and it actually impacts your community, which can lead to longer term business repercussions.
All right, we've got lots more to discuss here. I'm behind. I got to get a headline break in here. But there, Sherry Davidoff, founder and CEO of LMG Security, that's based in Missoula. I do want to talk about your new book, but you've got a couple out there, too, that are fascinating to me. Data breaches, also network forensics, tracking hackers through cyberspace. You're somewhat well known in the industry as well, and you've probably been hacking for a lot of years. So I want to talk about what's fun about that. The Colonial Pipeline Company reportedly paid a $5 million ransom to cyber attackers. That price went up for a cooperative, NEW cooperative. It's an agricultural cooperative. They ended up paying $11 million to end the attack on its system. As your new book, when it is out, Response and Prevention, indicates, we got to look at response and prevention to these sorts of things. So we're back after these headlines from Brian Bennett. As I mentioned, been called a hacker mom. I think that would be kind of cool if I'm the hacker mom. Sherry Davidoff, founder and CEO of LMG Security. That's based in Missoula, Montana. Come out of MIT and then just got to work. New book outcoming at three, or this will make three for her. Sherry, thank you for being here. Appreciate that. Faculty member, Pacific Coast Banking School, and instructor for Black Hat. There's a lot of terms here that unfortunately I think Americans are coming to understand more and more. But is cybersecurity kind of beyond most of us? As I'm looking at that, my mind goes, I can't understand it all.
Yeah, well, Tom, as we were talking about during the break, cybersecurity is nothing new. You know, security has been an issue since the dawn of humanity. And it's just that we really have a new battleground these days. And the other issue is that the internet connects us with so many potential attackers. You are literally 150 milliseconds away from every psychopath on the planet now. So that's why we have to deal with this increasing threat landscape. And we've become dependent on cyberspace. I can tell you, I've been in security for the past 20 years. It actually wasn't called cybersecurity then. It was called computer security when I first started. And the landscape has changed so much. When I first took that job in security, I thought, oh, I'll just do this to make a living until I figure out what I want to do when I grow up. And then I just kept doing it and kept doing it. And all of a sudden, it was a career in retrospect. But the landscape has changed a lot.
The response and prevention part of your new book. Let's launch into that a little bit, because as I noted, the Colonial Pipeline price tag was $5 million, though they got some of that back according to a blog on your website. And then, yeah. And then also, the new cooperative, that price tag went up to $11 million. I mean, what is the price of cybersecurity?
Well, there's a lot of, well, first of all, let's talk about the meaning of security, right? Yeah. It comes from, the Latin for without and care, curity, care. So really, we're trying to be carefree. It doesn't mean we're going to squash every issue. You decide at what point do you feel like you are secure enough, you can let go and be comfortable with your current risks. Everybody has risks. In the case of ransomware, which is the topic of my book, if you get hit with ransomware, you can suffer operational outages. We see hospitals getting taken down all the time. More quietly, you do see financial institutions getting hacked, law firms getting hacked and hit with ransomware, but that doesn't make the news as often because there's not as much of a public-facing impact. There can be financial impacts, and as you talked about, those the top dollar amounts for ransom payments have been increasing over the past several years, dramatically so just in the past couple. So you now see multi-million dollar ransom payments.
And okay, LNG Security, all right, stand by. Coming up against the break here, I want to come on back and talk more with Sherry Davidoff.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
The FDA has granted full approval for Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine, so you can be even more confident that the vaccine's safe and it works. Approval required extensive data on safety and effectiveness, which is very reassuring. With the Delta variant spreading and COVID cases rising, unvaccinated Montanans are at the greatest risk. Vaccination is the best way to protect yourself, your loved ones, and your community. Visit covidvaccine.mt.gov to find a vaccine near you. Montana Department of Public Health and Human Services.
It's Cybersecurity Today with Sherry Davidoff, founder and CEO of LMG Security based in Missoula, author of three books. Well, one is upcoming here, too. And Sherry, thank you for being here. Appreciate that. You don't mind being called Hacker Mom, do you? Is that okay?
No, it's fine.
I think that's like an enduring term. I want to kind of talk about how you got into this, but we got to go back to the discussion regarding the Colonial Pipeline ransomware attack in May. $5 million there. And then we see other ransomware attacks that grab some news. The one that affect agriculture recently was on a NEW new cooperative and the JBS Meatpacker as well. That price tag is going up.
Absolutely. And with it, the ransomware organizations are changing. So one of the things I wanted to talk about was negotiating with the criminals, right? So one of the things we do here at LMG is if an organization gets hacked, we come in, we clean them up, and we may end up doing the actual ransom negotiation. And the persona, the people we're negotiating with, have changed. They are employees today. They're literally employees. Crime groups, if we try to negotiate a discount and it's particularly steep, they might say, let me check with my boss on that, things like that. And part of this is because of how much money these gangs are making. There's literally been an industrial revolution in ransomware. So they've made these profits. They've invested them in technology, first of all. So they've made ransomware as a service platforms, similar to like Google's applications and Microsoft's 65, you can literally rent out access to a ransomware as a service platform, and then your little organized crime group can use it to attack other people. So these ransomware operators invest in the software, invest in the technology, build these platforms, sometimes we'll make playbooks, step-by-step playbooks. they hire hackers. I just did an interview with a small business, a small ransomware business, and they said they have one full-time web developer and two hackers on staff. Some of these organizations are much, much bigger than that. They have franchise models. So some of the big things like Revil, for example, has a franchise model. They're the number one most common type of ransomware you'll see out there today. And your little organized crime group can open up its own little shop and start hacking people using their software, using their playbooks. They have public relations teams. So we've started to see them investing in ransomware leak, data leak portals, and then they build relationships. You can get an early heads up, like 24-hour heads up, before data gets leaked if you're a journalist. So it's really scaled up into this big, sophisticated operation.
Illegal operation.
Only illegal in some parts of the world.
So what are response and prevention methods?
Well, first of all, it's very important to catch these attacks early. One thing people don't realize is that the ransomware, the launch of ransomware itself, is usually the last piece of the hack. So the criminals will get in and they will dwell in your network. You might see a dwell time of anywhere between 5 days to 3, 4, 5 months or more. And in that time, they are often hunting for things, especially in businesses, they're hunting for your financial information. They're trying to see what computers they've gotten access to. They'll use that to set your ransom demand. If it's a small business, they might keep it, you know, $80,000, $90,000, $100,000. If it's a large organization, you're going to see multi-million dollar ransom demands. They're also interested in cyber insurance coverage. They will actively seek out cyber insurance policies. The Conti playbook just got leaked, and the hackers are specifically instructed to look for insurance-related information. Mm. And again, that's used in order to set the ransom demand. We had a case last year where the initial demand was $1.2 million. We talked them down to $565,000, and they wouldn't budge after that. And then we realized their insurance coverage was up to $600,000, and we believe the criminals were aware of that coverage, and we're deliberately negotiating until they hit that.
Wow, that is real sophisticated. I'll talk a bit about how far-reaching it can be, because I know you've done cybersecurity training for the Department of Defense, the American Bar Association, the FDIC. What are some of those out there dangers for us?
I love that you brought up Colonial Pipeline, because that is a case where we really saw those far-reaching ripple effects.
Yeah.
So Colonial Pipeline itself was hit, and note that the criminals didn't take down the pipeline. They actually took down the information systems behind it, and the operators of the Colonial Pipeline made the choice to cut the supply of gas because they track it for billing purposes anymore. But that meant there was this shortage of gas all along the East Coast of the United States. And so gas stations were shut down for up to 10 days. There are now lawsuits because all these small business owners that operate convenience stations lost significant amounts of money while their stations were shut down. You saw people who depended on the gas, of course, were sitting in lines and in some cases not able to buy gas the way they normally are. So all of these ripple effects. And if it had gone on and on, we could have seen more significant impacts on our infrastructure.
What about in terms of warfare? I think we're reading more and more about how China is investing in possible ways to, you know, affect our economy in a lot of ways, or our ability to defend ourselves. Where are we at in that regard?
Yeah, information warfare has quietly been going on in the background for decades now, and we have seen the impacts of that. So, for example, businesses here in the United States, even here in Montana, get hacked. Manufacturers have diagrams stolen, test results stolen, business plans stolen. Sensitive information from your email, things that you might not think are sensitive, are stolen by other governments, including China. And then we see them counterfeiting, or we see them making, you know, airplanes or military equipment that's just like ones that are made in the United States, but they can leapfrog that R&D process because they're literally just using our stolen information. So unfortunately, that's been going on constantly. And now all of a sudden, we're more aware of the hacks that are occurring, but they've actually been going on for a long, long time.
Are there new targets out there?
Well, I think everybody's always been a target. What's changed are hacking, financially motivated hacking groups are using different tactics. So 10 years ago, they really didn't have a way to make money by taking down a manufacturing company, right? Or by taking down a small business. It was like, all right, we took that, we knocked their operations offline. Now what? And the rise of cryptocurrency has facilitated fast anonymous payments, which has enabled ransomware to really take off. And similarly, the rise of onion routing and the dark web has given them a forum on which to sell stolen information. So now it's not just about warfare. It's not just about counterfeiting. It's not just about stealing credit card numbers and monetizing those. Criminals can literally just make money hacking into your computer, stealing data, and then reselling it on the dark web. And now they have an avenue to make money by taking organizations down. And that's been the big change in the past decade.
Sherry Davidoff, founder and CEO of LMG Security. I want to talk about how you got into hacking, but finishing up with those targets, companies out there that are, and I know that they need to take all kinds of precautions, but is there a specific amount of corporate, whether it's influence or profit, that attracts, is there a business that's too small to be a target for cyber security threats?
No, all of us are targets. Many of us are targets of opportunity. You click an phishing email, your computer gets infected, and they will take what they can from you. Remember, they're just trying to make a quick buck. They'll steal what they can, or they'll maybe just get access and resell access to your computer. Everyone is a target. And there are a few specific things that you can do to protect yourself. Do you want me to go into those?
Yes, yes, please.
Always good. So number one thing that you should do is turn on multi-factor authentication. So authentication is when you verify someone's identity, and we often do that online with a password.
Gosh, I hate that. I'm sorry, Sherry. I hate that. Hate that. Multi-factor.
I hate passwords, too. Oh, you hate multi-factor authentication.
Yes, I do. I'm just too lazy for it. I don't get past it very easily.
Yeah, I can tell you it's more of a headache to get hacked. But there's ways to use MFA, multi-factor authentication, that are easier than others. So you want to choose an easy one. I recommend an app on your phone. But I guarantee you, Tom, your password has been stolen. And once it's stolen, criminals will use it to log into every single account that they can think of. And they're getting really good at it. There's 15 billion stolen passwords out there on the dark web. Some of them are yours. So run, don't walk. Use an app on your phone, or if you need to, you can get a text message on your phone, but apps are better. And that way, even when they steal your password, they can't instantly get into your accounts. I'm hoping that passwords will go away and we'll just have things like Touch ID, right? Or facial recognition, things that are easy and simple and not a pain in the neck. And we are moving in that direction. So don't worry, there's hope. But in the meantime, take that opportunity to secure your accounts properly.
So did they get my password by data breaching Yahoo or Alibaba, or was it LinkedIn? Was it Marriott International? There's a list of data breaches out there, too. And I know ransomware is a little bit different, but that's been going on for a while, too.
Yeah, I have the database of stolen LinkedIn passwords. There are some other collections that are floating around the dark web. You can just buy them or download them for free on the web. If you use any of these services that you just mentioned, your password was out there, and they have tools that will try hundreds of thousands of passwords in any random website they can. So they actually get your password in one of three ways. Number one, they from a cloud provider before you even know that that's happened. Number two, they might get it from you in a phishing attack. So you might click on a link, think you're going to your bank's real website. In reality, it's a fake one. You type in your password. They've got it. You might not even know. And then the third thing they do is steal it from files on your computer. So if you're saving passwords in files on your computer, that's actually one of the most dangerous things you can do. I would rather see people write their passwords down physically than store them in files on their computer, because as soon as you click on a link in a phishing email and your computer gets infected, they can grab all the files on your computer. They have automated tools to identify things that look like passwords, and then those get added to their databases, and they will try them in lots of different websites. So there's three ways that passwords get stolen. I also recommend that you use a password manager, things like LastPass or Dashlane. They're in the cloud. They have apps on your phone. You can create unique passwords for everything. I know that's probably going to give you a heart attack, but you don't have to remember them. App will remember it for you.
Yeah. They are getting more user-friendly. I got to take a break. LMGsecurity.com for more information. I want to come back and ask you how you got into it. I guess it would be that first time when you were hacking and it was for fun, but you started really, really sweating over it. Sherry Davidoff is with us, founder and CEO of LMG Security, based in Missoula, on Voices of Montana.
When you see railroad tracks in your community, you're looking at a partnership lasting 170 years. BNSF Railway has cared about your community for generations. BNSF continually invests in equipment and technology to keep our employees and communities safe. Help keep your family and neighbors safe. Remember to stay alert when you are near the railroad tracks and to only cross the railway at designated crossings. Let's keep each other safe, and let's keep the economy moving for the next generation. This is BNSF.
Hey there, what are you doing today? Would whatever it is be easier with faster, more reliable home internet? If you said yes, we have good news. Viasat offers high-speed satellite internet wherever you live, even if cable providers don't go there. So you can get online today and tomorrow. Go to viasat.com/internet now and save up to $150 on select home plans. That's viasat.com/internet now. Minimum 24-month service term. Service is not available in all areas. See viasat.com for additional terms and conditions.
Conducting cybersecurity training for many distinguished organizations. Her third book is out soon, Ransomware and Cyber Extortion, Response and Prevention. From Missoula, CEO and founder of LMG Security, Sherry Davidoff. Sherry, again, thanks for being here. I want to talk about how you got into the industry here and if there's a story behind that first hacking experience where you said, hey, you know, I might be kind of good at this.
I definitely just kind of fell into it. When I was at MIT, one of our favorite pastimes was to go hacking. And it actually meant something different then. It meant physically climbing through spaces where maybe you weren't supposed to be. So we would meet at Saturday night. We would meet Saturday nights at midnight at a coffee house. And from there, we would kind of break up into groups and go spelunking through elevator shafts or interstitial spaces in buildings or up on the roofs or down in the steam tunnels. So we'd go hacking a lot, or you could pull a hack, which meant you would do something funny, like turn a building into Tetris or things like that. And I didn't realize that was really preparing me for my career as a penetration tester. After I graduated, I ended up one way or another meandering into security, and I started physically breaking into banks for a living, legitimately, like they would hire me to do that, kind of like the movie Sneakers. And then from there, actually, you know, doing network-based penetration tests on airlines and manufacturing companies and banks and all kinds of organizations, moved to Montana. Started a business.
Why is it, and we only have a minute here, why is it so hard to shut down these things, the so-called dark web?
Well, because the dark web is used, like any tool, can be used for good things and for bad things, you know, just like cars and guns and, again, any tool. It's about how it's used. So the dark web is also really important for journalists who need to get sensitive information out of countries where the network may be monitored. It's important for intelligence agencies that are trying to communicate from other countries as well. So, and it can also help to protect privacy. The whole point of the dark web is that it creates anonymity on the internet. And there are pros and cons to anonymity. It also facilitates crime, unfortunately. So that's just one of the things that the dark web is used for.
So are the good guys getting more body punches in, or are the bad guys right now ahead in the count?
The whole thing is ramping up. You know, when I first started my business, I was young and I was on my own, and then got employees, and the hackers are doing the same thing. Many of them were just, you know, solo bad guys hacking into things, or 14-year-olds in their mom's basement, and then they grew up and they hired employees and they turned into organized crime groups. And
wow.
So on both sides of things, we're seeing attackers and defenders mature and evolve and become more sophisticated.
Good stuff, Sherry. Thank you for the work you do. Thanks for being on. I'd love to chat with you down the road, okay?
Yep, thanks so much, Tom.
All right, we'll see you guys tomorrow.